Well, good morning. It's so great to have you in services today. It's good to have you here in the house of the Lord. We have an opportunity to worship and praise together, and we're so glad that you're here. Let's open the service with a word of prayer, if we could. Dear Lord God, we thank you. We just thank you for this great day you've given to us. Even the wind and the rain remind us that you are this great God, this one in control of everything, including the weather over our heads, the ground under our feet, the food we eat, the clothing we wear. Everything is from your hand. We so thank you for it. You are a good God to us. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, the psalmist reminds us. And we certainly thank you for it. Be with us today as we worship together. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Let's start off with reading a psalm. I'll read a psalm to you here, Psalm 100. It's one of those psalms that just kind of lifts your heart and your head up to the Lord with thankfulness. Let's just listen in as I read. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Let's stand and sing, "My heart is filled with thankfulness." Let's stand and sing this together.
My heart is filled with thankfulness to him who bore my pain, who plumbed the depths of my disgrace and gave me life again, who crushed the curse of sinfulness and clothed me in his light and wrote his law of righteousness with power upon my heart. My heart is filled with thankfulness to him who walks beside, who floods my weaknesses with strength and causes fears to fly, whose every promise is enough for every step I take, sustaining me with arms of love and crowning me with grace. My heart is filled with thankfulness to him who reigns above, whose wisdom is my perfect peace, whose every thought is love. For every day I have on earth is given by the King. So I will give my life, my all, to love and follow him.
Thank you. You may be seated. The pastor's going to be preaching from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3 through 6. And if you even just read even a little bit in here, it seems like a collection of nasty things, a bunch of sins that are going to be recorded and things like that. But there's a gem right in the middle of it where he says, but rather giving thanks. But rather giving thanks. And it's an important thing to remember that in the midst of all this negativity, our heart ought to be one that just gushes with thankfulness. God has done so much for us, and we ought to just be so grateful to him. That's why the service is kind of focused around thankfulness. And because it's kind of the one little bright light in a lot of the darkness. But let's just read this together. Ephesians 5, 3 through 6. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness let not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God, Christ and God, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Let's sing this chorus. In my life, Lord, be glorified.
In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today.
In my song.
In my song, Lord, be glorified.
Last one. O great God of heaven.
O great God of highest heaven, occupy my lowly heart. Own it all and reign supreme, conquer every rebel power. Let no vice or sin remain that resists your holy war. You have loved and purchased me, make me yours forevermore. I was blinded by my sin, had no ears to hear your voice, did not know within, had no taste for heaven's joy. Then your Spirit gave me life, opened up your word to me. Through the gospel of your Son, gave me endless love and peace. Help me now to live a life that's dependent on your grace. Keep my heart and guard my soul from the evils that I face. You are worthy to be praised with my every thought and deed. O great God of highest heaven, glorify your name.
All right. Thank you, Phil. Great to see you guys today. It's so nice to see faces and just connect with you. Gil, you and Dot, great to have some of your family with us today. Thanks for coming this morning, you guys. Nice to see you. And Becky, is this some of your family, Ben's family? Oh, great to have you guys here as well for attending with us today. And welcome, welcome. Others of you as well. Thank you so much for being in our service today. I had written up on our Facebook, church Facebook page that I'm so appreciative of so many, I've said this along the way, but so many that are helping clean and get ready for our church services and kind of doing that work behind the scenes. But some are coming in on Saturday to prepare for Sunday. They're cleaning in between services. They're spraying and wiping down and keeping things clean. We've done a lot of work in the church just to kind of take things out that are touchable and that kind of thing, and just to make things clean all throughout. And our custodial staff as well, who clean and make things ready for Sunday for us today. And it's so good that we can continue to meet, isn't it? Even in this way, we're thankful for that and need to be, again, thankful to the Lord for that opportunity. But we've really got a great team of faithful people. Now, since when did we start? Back in late June, was it? And now we've been continuing on with our morning services this way, and so glad that you're here today. Thank you so much for joining us online as well. Some of you are going to watch this maybe right now with us, and we welcome you, and some later. But so great to have some of you attending with us virtually and online. We do value your presence and appreciate your prayers. And even within the very ministry and connection through the very Spirit of God, you and I unite together in the body of Christ. We do as a group, and we're thankful for you where you are. And thank you for joining us so very, very much. I pray that the service will be a blessing to you and your family. Or if you're new to our church as well, you can always just email our church. Let us know you'd like more information or respond to a sermon, maybe as a God is at work in your heart or a prayer request that you might have. But it's firstbaptist.ah@gmail.com. You can do that. You can go to our website as well at fbcah.org, and I'd love to have you connect that way also. But great to have you present with us in our service today. And we've got families who meet in our upper room, and it's nice to see kids up there and families and just people spread out here in our auditorium. But it's so wonderful to connect and be with you here in our service today. We, in our world, and Phil had mentioned that the passage is really quite crude, isn't it? It's just those words are strong and harsh for us. And yet in the middle of that is this beautiful little piece on Thanksgiving. We're going to come to that. But there is a theme in this of just our need as Christians to make sure we're not being pulled back down into a world system that is dark, and that we not be that kind of light and live in the light as we should. We will see in the next portion beyond this one that there's an emphasis on this kind of awakening to light, being who you're called to be is light. And we'll talk about that. But in this first portion, there's an intentional remembering of certain sins and wrongs that can be kind of hooks and spiral points for us in this world to move back into darkness. It's not easy for us, is it, to live outside of those things. Satan certainly sees to it that they are powerful, that they kind of seep in, that they sometimes undermine, and we can get caught back into those practices and conduct. So and mentalities. And so it's a good warning to us here to be reminded of these kinds of things, even though I know they're awkward to even talk about. But I do believe they will help us as we listen in and ask the Lord to help us in this. And as we do live in a dark world, there are times when we are going to pull back. There are times we're going to leave a party early. There are times we're going to break off a relationship, possibly. Or maybe we're not going to go out with the business team to that certain entertainment venue. Just a lot of ways that we set ourselves apart. We may leave a conversation early because it's degrading into a kind of a content that we ought not be a part of, and it really bothers us to even hear and listen into some of those kinds of things. We make those shifts. We may turn off a certain Netflix series we started to watch and just say, you know what, that's too sordid, it's too dirty, it's just not right in some of the things that are being said and done. I don't want that dwelling in my mind. And so with God's grace, we change direction. And so, you know, there are ways in which we move away from things like that just to make sure that they're not pulling us back down in. And so we're going to mention a number of kind of series of words. Three of these, it's the only place they're mentioned this way in a list like this. So these are kind of different for us, but they're good reminders, and I hope it will click with you. A little later, and I don't know if we can do this, it would have to be real fast, but at a point of Thanksgiving, I wondered if you would just even have kind of a one or two word kind of burst of thanks you can give to the Lord. Maybe we'll just let you speak out. We haven't been able to do that all that much, but just to say it publicly here, I'm thankful for this about God and what he means to me. I'm thankful for this. Could be something very current, could be something long term, could be rooted in your salvation. But I'm not sure that our online group is going to be able to hear this as well. We'll just have to maybe try that. But I kind of like your participation in the middle when we come to this area of Thanksgiving. So disconnecting from darkness, this really pulls out some of those areas that we need to continue to watch and change and make sure we're not doing those kinds of things. In the next section again on light, but disconnecting from darkness is what I've entitled this message, this sermon. And so as we kind of walk through this, we're going to look at some how-tos and how to do that, how to disconnect, okay? And so as you're thinking through this, one of the ways we can disconnect, and this is kind of an odd statement to say it this way, but it's to actually hush up the kind of inroads of darkness into our life. Certainly we could say put off or disable or take out, but even hush up here, because of something that's said in the text, is the first thought here. And the text has been read, but as you look at this with me in chapter 5, verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather, here when we see this next piece, the giving of thanks. I'll say more about that as we come to that. But that list of six things are kind of awful things. And I'm even going to be careful about how much I say about them here in a mixed audience. And we've got some of our young family members here with us. And I just want to be very careful. But there are some of these things you can kind of see, the tip of the iceberg of so much of this in a degenerating kind of society we're living in. You can see, probably think even of the examples of some of these things that are going on in our world here, but we've got an amen over there, so we'll take it. But just to hear a live voice is something that we haven't heard in a while, but nice to, within reason, of course. But but fornication, notice those three, but fornication and all uncleanness and or then this area of greed. Those three things are kind of set off in a little bit of a unit. And they may speak of a kind of thought and thinking and a way that we move through life. And they are, three, especially two of these, are really mentioned in a number of places in Scripture. I mentioned the likeness of this even to Romans chapter 1. But they are sometimes symptoms of a society that have held down God's truth and pushed back. And we see a kind of decline in morals, don't we, hear by some of those words? Just a deterioration into uncleanness. And we certainly have watched that and seen that, even in the last decade, of a kind of almost out of control spiral away in an avalanche of downgrade towards sins and a way of life that certainly is not in accord with God's word, isn't it? The first word that's mentioned there, fornication, can just mean unlawful sexual relations outside of marriage, and there are a host of things that would represent. But certainly those kinds of things are being treated in a cavalier way, in a casual way, and the significance of staying away from those kinds of sins is being downplayed in our world and in our culture. It is true that those in that Ephesian city, those Gentiles coming out of that, would have been exposed to that kind of thing and participated in that kind of lifestyle very, very, very much. Some of that would have even been included in temple worship. There would have been that kind of thing that went on. And so the dynamics of that were very much around and a part of the Gentile upbringing and world of that day. And so it's a reminder to say, hey, wake up. That's not your direction. Those are not your people. Those are not your practices. Remember this, even some of the sins that are happening in our society right now, morally, they're not new, are they? Some of the same things and sins we see moving across America right now in this area were happening in Ephesus at that time. And we're thankful for in our own culture here a little bit of kind of reining back through the Word of God and through church influence, I think, in years preceding. But we're seeing, a decline in this kind of thing going on in our society. And it certainly is discouraging to us, isn't it? We see it going on. But the answer certainly is the Lord and truth and the Word. I won't just get stuck on that one. But the second one is a word which just means impurity. And it's a word that can be probably as larger and broader and does not mean just in this area of wrong relations. It can mean anything that is now moved into the area of vileness as it affects a whole culture in many, many areas of life. It's just a defiled kind of living. This same word is used in Romans chapter 1, verse 24, when it says, God turned them over to their passions and to impurity. Same word, or uncleanness. In the New King James, it starts out with uncleanness, I think, there. I'm trying to think, or it's impurity, and then it goes to the passions of the flesh. But it's as if by their choice, God just said, okay, you can have it. You know, I mean, this is it. You're in. And, you know, that decline can just get awful and ugly as people begin to move down into that kind of impurity. The word is interesting here, and I think we can connect with it in a way right now, because it's a word which just is sometimes used for uncleanness. What are we doing right now to watch out for the pandemic or the spread of COVID-19? What are we doing? We're spraying everything, and we are washing our hands, and one of the keys has been to wash hands, hasn't it? And now to cover face, to watch out for the contamination that would take place. You know, the Jews in that day used this word a lot, this word of uncleanness. And they actually had four levels of uncleanness in their thinking. But in that uncleanness, there were lots of washings. There were lots of rituals related to purity. There were things they couldn't touch according to the law. You know, and I'm not trying to reinstitute the law, of course, but there was that carefulness about the spread of uncleanness. I think we can feel it even right now when it comes to this COVID element. And yet, how like the Christian that we ought to be washing our hands more often, you know? We ought to be putting on our mask mentally and watching what comes into our eyes. And we move in a world that's just moving toward a decline in this area of just an unclean kind of practice. And it begins to affect almost everything. And I just am saddened by the news, the looting and the shooting and the trafficking and the da-da-da. We can just go on and on, can't we? And out-and-out murder and hatred and anger and all the things that are a part of our world right now. But again, this is the decline of sin, and this is not our walk. This is not where we live, of course, at all. And it should not be where we are. But there's a third piece here, and it's this area of greed. I've got to be careful. I don't want to spend too much time on these six things. But greed could mean, and some translations almost point to the idea that to do these kinds of sin greedily, it could be translated that way. But in the syntax of this sentence, it seems to stand off on its own. That was mentioned earlier, I think, just in some of those previous verses. Was it verse 3? I'm trying to think. It wasn't verse 3. It was up in the text a little earlier. But it talked about greed as well. And importantly, it's talked down even in verse 5, isn't it, where it talks about greed or covetousness, which is what? What is it related to? Idolatry there. It reminds us of that there. Colossians does the same thing and kind of links in greed or covetousness with idolatry. And, you know, that may not seem like all that big of a deal to us, and yet, more than we realize, we as even Americans, and even sometimes even as suburbanites, we are often controlled by the element of greed. It's that driving longing to have more and more and more and more and more, and it just does not stop. And when you put it into the category of idolatry, anything that we tend to trust or worship or becomes more significant to us than God himself really begins to take the place of an idol in our lives. It begins to drive us. What is it that brings us joy? What is it that we wake up to? What is it that brings us a sense of safety? Is it money? Is it things? Is it more? Is it the next thing we're going to buy? Is it the next thing we're going to acquire? The next shift we're going to make and becoming more comfortable? We have really often bought into that more than we realize. We realize that we are often worshiping greed and covetousness and worshiping idols in a way that has often impacted our life. There's probably many, many examples we could make of it here, but he says, don't let that even be named among you. It's an interesting little phrase, and it means don't let it even be talked about so much in your midst. That's really the idea of this. It could mean that, you know, make sure it's not, you're not named for it, you're not practicing it, but it's even deeper than that, it seems. It even goes to the point of saying, may it not even be your point of discussion. And I don't think here, again, it's the idea that I can't preach it and teach it, and we need to understand it here and understand the dynamics of those things. But this kind of talk, if we're not careful, could be talk that is a little more accepting or even promotes the practice, or maybe in the discussion we begin to treat it lightly, or just even in being overexposed to it, it becomes more and more a part of our interest. And it's almost like saying, hey, just hush it up. It's not the kind of thing we talk about and even dwell on as believers. I'm going to bring it up. They're dirty things. It's a world we don't want to live in. It's all around you and we need to say it. But there are times when we need to just hush up and we don't need to spend all of our time dwelling on that kind of stuff. Now, we talk about in a home Bible study or in our group, we spend all our time talking about all the ugly things. It almost becomes a point of interest, doesn't it? And we just got to be careful of that. Sometimes we just need to say, just leave that out there, just close off the door. You know, there are sometimes, even right now, that it's just difficult for me to watch the news. I've got to stay up with it, a certain amount of element of news. But there's a part of it that's just hard for me to watch. And I almost can't in ways. There's a point in time I'll listen to the kind of mountain peaks and get some of the headlines and I'll just shut it off because some of it is just so awful. It just so affects my spirit and that. So it's an interesting segment, isn't it? And yet these three pieces are brought up later as being a significant part of the pull even of the world and the world system here. And this is not fitting. This kind of talk is not fitting. Look at verse 4 there. Neither filthiness... Let it not be named, verse 3, excuse me, let it not be named among you as is fitting for saints. That's what's not fitting. I think that discussion is not really a proper thing, even in our conversations, in our discussions. So we don't want to spend our time on that kind of stuff. And yet, I think, again, that's a big talk in our media right now, you know, isn't it? So much is there about these things. And sordid kind of even discussions. Through social media and many of these issues. Now, this next segment is again a little bit diverse, but it almost points to a kind of what I would call, these are a little more concrete, the first three, but the next three are a little more what I would just call kind of a looseness in what we're doing and how we're responding to morals, how we're talking, how we're jesting. Even these things become important. That's why I've given this point, this idea of hush up. Watch even your language. Watch your speech. These three are unique. And I'm not going to, again, spend a lot of time here on them, but just notice them here with me, the ideas of this. I could almost call them the partying attitude as well, you know. You can almost hear these kinds of things and see these kinds of action in a party that's gotten out of control, where there's been drinking and drunkenness, and people now are speaking loosely and vulgarly, and they're doing things by actions and gestures that are out of control. And they're joking about dirty things. You can almost see this kind of imagery here, can't you? It almost as this kind of out of control, worldly party here. I think of that when I think of these next three words. The first word that's used there for filthiness is just indecent behavior. It's a strange word, but it can mean doing things that kind of flout or mock what's socially or morally acceptable and that is a standard. It's almost like the rebel who's going to do and say everything he can against the organization he's in or the society. It's the kid that sits at the back of the room and strikes out with his comments. He's socially and morally pushing back, mocking, and it may even degenerate into words that are just indecent. It's shameful. It's obscene. It may involve the idea of lewd gestures, if I can try to illustrate this, or inappropriate touching. Here we've got some of that kind of improper, immoral kind of action as well. Disgusting practical jokes. Interesting illustration, isn't it? Just a kind of lewd, indecent group of people now that begins to develop. You know, I grew up playing in athletics and settings where I've been a part of a secular locker room. Some of you have as well. And growing up and hearing some of those things, especially with guys, it's just the awful talk sometimes in those settings. And from kind of naive kid coming up in a Christian family and youth group in a pastor's home, you know, being in the middle of that kind of thing. Some of it was shocking to me in that, and even at that level, high school and junior high. But there is that same kind of business talk, sometimes that joking circle, sometimes those things that degenerate into indecent behavior. And it's not only true in the back alleys, it's true in the highest clubs, isn't it? And sometimes the places of entertainment where people go. It's often true in our world of groups that gather. And it can be an ugly thing. The foolish talk here, this is an interesting word. It actually is made up of two words, which is the word talk or logos, but it's the word moros, or it sounds a lot like what? Moron, doesn't it? And it's just talk that may not just be dumb, but it may be talk that is profane, worldly, that has a disregard for truth. And many think, again, it has that kind of profane, irreligious, impious kind of speech, almost mocking God, that kind of thing. That's often characteristic of that circle, isn't it? People begin to talk about the things of the Lord and the things of God. And I've been in settings where, in a recent place, well, I won't even use that as an illustration. I know I'm online here, but got to sometimes gauge what I'm saying. But you've probably been in the midst of that, of this just kind of worldly, profane, kind of mocking kind of talk that goes on, and even a response toward the things of the Lord that is wrong. And then a third, kind of what seems small to us, but a kind of jesting that it actually means to turn a phrase, is what the word means. But it's this ability to do double entendre, to say the risque thing and turn something back in kind of a sordid or immoral kind of way. But here it says, this has no place for us. Again, this is not fitting. That's not our circle, is it? Why are those little things even important? Because that's not our conversation, is it? That's not fitting for us. We don't just speak carelessly about the things of the Lord or carelessly about sin and worldliness. We don't get involved in a world that is indecent in its gestures and its actions. We are people of holiness. And again, going back, even if you look at your Bibles, back to verse in chapter 4, even verse 24, and put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Do you remember those words? Righteousness, uprightness in all of its ways, and holy here has the idea of devotedness to the Lord. One lived under his scrutiny and certainly in wonderful deep connection with him. Isn't that our goal? Isn't that our goal for our kids, for our families, as we gather together, that we are people of righteous and holy response to him? These are great reminders to us, and I want to encourage you to think through, again, how you may have begun to spiral away and down, or you're bringing yourself under the talk of others and the actions of others that are not right. It might be a dating a certain boy or girl, and their jokes or behavior become inappropriate. You may be in a reading group that's reading the wrong kinds of things. You may be connecting with a group of friends that are kind of leading you down rather than up for the things of the Lord. And again, it's time to say, I've got to limit my response to them and do that kind of thing. So again, there is this check here on what we should do. I've thought some about this as well as I think of this foolish talk element and even indecent behavior. I just want to remind you that real life is not a series of things you're watching on television. Real life is not Facebook, is it? And I think there's sometimes people who are living in this domain more than they should. That real life is about the recent social media battle. Real life is about what's happening in such and such a TV series they're watching. And they become so a part of that, that that's real life. That's where they're living. That's not where we live, is it? We're not just a part of foolish, heretical, worldly kind of talk and thinking. We are people that we stay in tune with the things of the Lord and with his word. And there are times when we must separate back out from some of that and say, that's not where I live. That's not reality. That's not truth. Reality is the word of God and what God has planned for us and his design. Isn't that true? Can I get an amen on that? Amen? Amen. But I think there are too many, even of Christians, who are living with their heads in social media so much that that's become real life. It's not real life. It's a souped up world of hatred ideas and wrong things and falsifications. And oh, what a beauty it is to live in the truth of the Word of God and live in His Word, isn't it? Now, the second piece to this is that joy, and it's interesting, and I won't go into all the syntax here, but it almost seems to stand apart as an action, a kind of thing that ought to characterize us against the backdrop of all of those six. It could be just the last three, almost with speech in mind, let us be characterized by thanksgiving. But it almost seems, as I've studied it now again, that it seems to point toward all six. What is to be characteristic of us? Look at it in the last part of verse 4. Which are not fitting, but rather what? And it's just a noun here. But rather are two words that are used here that are hugely strong and say, but instead, it's the word Allah in the Greek, and then it's another word that says rather, but, and with a harsh shift, rather do what? Rather, boom, thanksgiving, thankfulness, gratitude. Why is that so vital? What would you expect here for God to say, or for Paul to say, or to write here? Instead of all of that sordid lifestyle, what should we be living? Well, I've mentioned a couple of those things, righteousness and holiness, right? You would think that's what he might say. But it's interesting that he says, but rather, boom, gratefulness. Somebody wrote and said that gratefulness, let me read it here, thanksgiving is almost a synonym for the Christian life. Isn't that neat? In other words, thanking God is almost a synonym for who we are. Think with me for just a minute. This comes up a number of times in our scriptures here when it comes to thanksgiving. In fact, you're really close to Colossians if you have your Bibles out. If you don't, let me just read it for you. But Colossians 2, 6, and 7. Some see, again, this real close connection between these. Even Ephesians maybe coming out of then some of the thoughts of Colossians. But Colossians 2, 6, and 7. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with what? Thanksgiving. It was one of the things, as you look back at Romans chapter 1 again in that awful section on the response of people as they neglected and pushed back on the truth, that it says this about them, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful. Isn't that interesting? Why that? There was a missing element deep down in their soul and in their heart and even in their spiritual commitments. It was the missing piece of gratitude. I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded of this, even right now. Don't you? I know I do. In all of the ugly vein of things going on right now around us in this world, and all of this kind of push into our hearts and minds, we are people of the deepest and highest gratitude. That ought to be true of our lives, and it reshapes us. It may have, as you look at this idea of gratitude, it in some sense may be the pushback point for all of these sins. If you and I begin to live with that sense of everything is from God, we are thankful to Him, we value our inheritance in Him, we trust in God and we thank Him for His provision for each day, we wait on Him in the course of all of these kinds of things, all of that kind of spirit begins to push back then against some of these things of immorality and indecency and uncleanness and greed. We can see it especially for greed, can't we? When God begins to be the one we thank and worship, bless for all that He's given to us. Thankfulness. I know sometimes that's hard to click. It's hard to click with me. But it is this prominent piece in the Scriptures. Even in chapter 5, if you're right there in Ephesians, 5 verses 18 through 20, we will come to this. But as a result even of being filled with the Spirit, listen to this, and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks always. There's so much we could say here, but you know, that person coming up to an illicit relationship as a Christian has begun to flirt and kind of get close, and then they just again realize in the presence of God, what in the world am I doing? So I thank God for his salvation. I thank God for being a believer, for the change that has come into my life. I thank God for my dear family and my wife or my husband, whichever the situation might be. I can't do this kind of thing. This is not who I am. And gratitude shifts us back toward what? Toward wholeness and rightness and godliness. Someone says, oh, we just got to make that next purchase. Oh, we just got to get that next thing. Oh, we don't have enough right now. You know, we can just say, God, thank you. I am content to say, give us this day our daily bread. Give me the grace to make it through this day. It's all right. Thank you, God, for your care for us, for our family, for our kids, for our home. Thank you for your provision. Amen? And it's that spirit of that, and I need that every day during this period of time. Thank you, God, for the ability to meet together as a congregation. We can't do everything we did just that way we did 6 months ago or 5 months ago, but thankful that we can gather and praise the Lord together, and thankful that we've got the avenue of even a venue of online ability to stay connected and so forth. And God, give us grace for this day. Anxieties and worries kind of lift as we begin to just thank God and trust in him. Can you see it begin to apply? And oh, to talk about sordid things and ugly things and risque jokes, and sometimes we're just so good at doing that, turning things around that they make a wrong meaning, and with that double innuendo, that kind of thing. We do that in our joking, but oh, that's not who we are. God is good, and oh, how righteous we are, and how blessed we are to be his. Doesn't mean we can't have some jokes and have fun and do the kind of thing, but it just doesn't mean we shouldn't be fooling around with that that's tainted and dirty, should we? It's not the kind of place we live. Hey, real quickly here, I know it's hard to do this online, but participate with me here. If you want to say it loud enough, maybe it'll catch a little bit of it, and maybe I'll try to repeat it if I can hear it well. But just say some things out loud, things you're thankful for. Can we just raise a hand, and I'll call on you, and you can do that. You can just kind of blurt it out. I know you don't want to be online, do you? But they don't see your face. You can just say it. What do you think? Yes? Mercy and patience. Okay? Good. What else? Yes? God's grace. Yes. How good. God forgives, doesn't he? And he continues to give us strength and enablement every day during these things for God's grace. Oh, to just thank him. Turn to him. Yes? Family and provision. Yes. How thankful we are for our loved ones during days like this. You know, so much is falling apart around in ways, but oh, how we love each other, how important they are to us, how we love them. And the second part, family and provision, God's provision, which can be daily, maybe. That's maybe all we have, and you know, maybe what it looks like right now. But for God's provision, yes. Others, yes. God's faithfulness, good. And we need to remember that. He doesn't change among all the change, does he? Amen, yes. Okay, it really follows up on that same thought. Was there one over here? Yes. The Bible, God's Word, yes. Others? Church family. Church family, amen. I won't use your names on here, just in case. I don't want to embarrass you. Yes. All of his creation. Yes, the beauty around us of what God has created and made. And we can soak that up, can't we? It's a beautiful thing. We think on all those things of Philippians 4, 6, 7, and 8 there, you know, all the wonderful things we can focus on and thank him for, beauties and his goodness and all of those things. Others. That's a lot. You know, I'm sure many of you could chime in. But isn't God good? Isn't God good? And in all of that sordidness, this just kind of lifts up, doesn't it? It just kind of beams up in such beauty. Stop a minute. Thank him. Can you just in your own heart and mind, maybe just close your eyes. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you. You are so good. Thank you for watching over our family. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for saving us, for giving us an inheritance. Thank you for cleanness and righteousness and holiness and beauty. Our family, our church family, the joys of godly relationships, all just on and on. We thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Thank him for your specific thing there. We end up with a couple of warnings, and they're harsh, they're dark in a way, but they're a good reminder to us, and they're really a third piece to this, not only to kind of change our relationship to some things and to live with the influence of thankfulness here, this point number two, but also heed the warnings that are here, and there are two of them. If you look at them, you'll see that one of them has to do with a recognition that those who practice, and especially those first three sins, are not a part of receiving that inheritance of the kingdom of Christ and God. Here, even salvation and even the ultimate, I think, millennial kingdom to come. They are not the recipients of that. Verse 5, let no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, those are those three, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Now, you and I know that as believers, we have been given an inheritance. And if you want to turn to that, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14 and 18, the Spirit who is a guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We have the joy and privilege of inheriting salvation that begins now and on then through eternity, all of the wealth of relationship and goodness that is associated with that inheritance. But as you look at this passage, those who fit into those categories, and in the actual original language, the idea of these are not those who act so much in this way, but they're said in such a way that they are those words being characteristic of those kinds of individuals. They're people who are postured in them. That is who they are. And again, it reminds us of a Romans chapter 1. Those people who have pushed back on God and who have become that kind of person, kind of like in Ephesians 2. You once were. But he reminds us here, this kind of person, that kind of person of an Ephesians 2, is not the kind of person who will inherit God's salvation and glory, and even the glory of the millennial reign with Christ. That is not who they are and what they get. We are not a part of that people, are we? And it's a reminder to us, if we are moving back into those venues, there might be something wrong with our hearts. And we may not be a part of that group promised inheritance. It's a good reminder to us to say, are we really a believer? Have we trusted in Christ? But that way of life should not be our way of life any longer. It's not who we are, is it? Hopefully, we will not live within that kind of framework anymore. The second thing is there, that we will not let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. This is a term and title used of those. Again, the sons of disobedience is used in chapter 2, I believe, but it's that characteristic trait of those who, again, are not in God, but who are outside of God, versus that we are his sons and daughters. We are those that have been brought into him, both as children and adopted, and the beauty of that relationship that we have with him. But we are instead are sons of disobedience, who will experience what? The very divine judgment of God now and eternally. Ah, the awfulness of that kind of thing. The awfulness of that kind of thought. We are not people of death, are we? We are people of life. We are not people of judgment and eternal wrath. We are people of life and joy and peace and wholeness and glory. Catch the warnings, you know, as you watch this world around you and you watch it spiral and you watch it sin. Be careful. Why? And it reminds us there, doesn't it? What does it say in verse 6? There are those who might try to deceive. Who is that in the church at Ephesus? We don't know. Was it somebody from within? It doesn't say. It likely is somebody from without. Somebody who may be teaching, twisting, coming to you again as a Gentile believer, as a believer in that early church, and saying, hey, it's not that serious. Don't be guilty over your sin. You can go back to that old way of life. It's no big deal. Why do you live that way since you've been saved? You've made this kind of new religion, but you could still do those same things. Come party with us like you used to. We even now today, don't we, have people who would undermine truth and righteousness, whether it's a counselor or a Bible teacher of the wrong kind, or a friend who says, oh, it's not a big deal. Your sin, your guilt, don't feel bad about doing those kinds of things. When I was in early high school, and this guy was a good friend, and he didn't mean it in a bad way, but I can remember back to a time I went to spend the night with him in a city away from where I lived at that point. And we have developed a good friendship. It was early high school. My mom and dad let me actually drive up there. We had a little, at that time, a Corvair. And we wanted to do something as a group. And he asked me to come with him to do something. I said, you know what, as a family, we don't do that. It wasn't very serious. It wasn't a big thing. I don't even want to tell you what it is right now because you'll think it's silly. But at that point, he says, Brian, it's all right. He said, don't worry about it. He says, you know, you don't always have to do everything, you know, your parents want you to do just like that. You know, come on, you know, it's all right. You can do this with us, you know. You've probably had people say that to you as well in your setting. And I said, you know what? No. I said, we don't do that. We just don't practice that kind of thing right now. It was a silly little thing. It wasn't serious, but in all kindness, he was just trying to include me in the group. But that little comment, you know, how many people just want to say that same thing to us? Oh, your parents are fuddy-duddies, you know. That's not even a term people use anymore, but I mean, your parents are out of touch, you know. I mean, that's way over the top. You don't have to be that holy and right and religious, you know. Just come along with the gang. Do this with us, will you? At that time, we just have to say, you know, I'm the Lord's. I'm not a son of disobedience. I'm a child of God. I'm one not aiming for God's judgment and wrath. I'm one who stands with him in glory and will be with him and the Lord. And I will live for him with gratitude and thanks for what he's done for me. Amen. Take that with you today. Thank the Lord for what he's done. And if necessary, make a shift. Maybe sin has caught you. It's begun to pull you. It's begun to discourage you and confuse you. Live for Christ. Set apart from that darkness. It may be that you've already fallen and you've fallen into sin. Repent. God is forgiving. Amen. Turn around. Change your course. Change a habit. Break the link. Cut the cord. Move toward him in a new way today. Be light, as we'll see. And let's take that kind of action today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for each one here. Thank you for the privilege of serving you and living for you in this day. And thank you for the great truth and the gratitude we have and your saving of us for the Lord Jesus Christ, for our salvation, for daily food and our necessities, for victory through Christ, for Christian friends, and on. We have so much. The glory we share in the Lord. And help each person here to make those choices, even now as we conclude, to set themselves apart from darkness and live in the light. Commit this service to you for your glory and praise. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen. Amen. I want to conclude with a verse. Let's stand together and we'll be dismissed with this benedictory verse here from Jude, verses 24 and 25. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory and exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Jude, verses 24 and 25. Thank you for being here. And we'll have Don come and just guide us out now. And thank you again for your watching of our protocols. Thank you.